We ought to be so grateful to be able to come together and share in the truth and have a place that we can learn the truth, grow up into the truth and believe in the truth, and for God to teach us His ways. We ought to be so grateful for the church, so thankful, because it isn't that way everywhere you go. I said, Brother Pike, there's churches all over the world. I know that, but there's very few of them that preach the truth. I know I've been in a lot of them. I've been in all kinds of churches, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian. I preached to all kinds of people, and there's very few of them that's got the truth. And even them that have the truth, most of them, even the outstanding ones, only have just part of the truth. And they're still not taught the fullness of the truth. And here we teach you the fullness of the truth. We teach you God's Word. We don't cut any corners. We teach it just like it is, all the way. And like the people that come out from the newspaper or whatever it was, some of them, TV stations, they made the statements. And there's one thing about this church that we can say, the people at least hear the Word of God, because He reads enough of it before He preaches. So we most of the time do read a passage of Scripture enough to where you can understand, you know, and we try to tell you the truth. Preach the Word of God. We should be so grateful. People are becoming grave everywhere. I know there's a lot of foolishness, and I realize that. There's a lot of folly, and there'll always be, even to the time, right on up until the time when God said the fire and the brimstone will be rained down out of heaven upon them. And it's hard to believe that, but even when the stones, the hailstones, come down from heaven, people will still curse God. As the hailstones fall out of heaven on them, the Bible teaches that they'll curse God. And you might say, Brother Pike, wouldn't they be too afraid to do that? Without Christ in your heart, you won't have any desire to praise God nor to surrender to God. But you'll be hardened. And the more that God comes against you, the more that you'll curse Him and the more you'll hate Him. Even now, many of you have got to admit in your own lives right now that there's times when you feel out of harmony with God. And you feel maybe there's something that's not going right with you and God. And you feel like you're getting on the wrong side of God. And that God doesn't favor you like you want Him to or like you feel like He should. You've got to admit that you begin to get hard and get bitter. Find fault with God and begin to want to blame God and withdraw from God. Now you say, Brother Pike, there's no such people here. I know that you're here because I've talked with you. I've talked with you when you told me that you was bitter at God and upset at God. I've talked both with men and women in the presence of my wife, and they have told me that they found fault with God and said things against God. So then, there's coming a time when the crisis is going to get so great that the hailstones will fall out of heaven. But you're still going to come against God. You're still going to come against God. There's only one thing that can tenderize the heart, and that's Jesus. People in the world, like the man that robbed the bank, there's people that's hardened. They've been told over and over not to rob. They've been told over and over not to steal. They've been told over and over not to kill, commit crimes. But they do it anyway. You ask them, you say, why did you do that? Didn't you have better sense than to do that after being warned so many times? They say, I know better than to do it. Well, why did you do it? Something got a hold of me. I just got an urge. Like I heard today about a man that had a dispute with another fella. He walked out of the bar room, got his high-powered rifle, his deer rifle. He come back, he shot him. And after he shot him and killed him, he still wasn't satisfied, so he walked up over the top of him and stuck his gun down to his head and shot him through the head to make double sure. and then laid his gun up on the bar and told the man to give him a beer and call the sheriff. He said, why in the world would anybody do a thing like that? They get an urge. And that urge is a devil. It might be an urge to kill. It might be an urge to rob. It might be an urge to steal. It might be an urge of temper. It might be an urge of gossip. It might be an urge of lust. It might be an urge of covetousness. But it's an urge. It could be an urge of mockery or anything. But those urges, those evil powers, sweep over you and control your life. Can be an urge of insanity, whatever. But it can sweep over you and control your life and cause you just in one split second to destroy your entire life. Many people, men and women alike, have committed suicide just in a flash moment like that. Maybe 5 minutes later, that I never dared do a thing like that if they just could have got over that urge. But they got so depressed, they got so cast down, so melancholy, feeling so bad, feeling that the world was down on them, the devils and demons talked to them and told them life wasn't any good and no need to live and wasn't worthwhile and nobody loved them and nobody cared about them. When really the truth of it was that the individual themselves was the evil one. They were the one that had done the misdemeanors of life. They're the ones that was the culprit, as we say. They're the ones that had mistreated everybody else and just got themselves into such a complex until they started to pity their own selves and blaming everybody else with it. Until finally they just committed suicide. Urges, evil spirits, devils and demons. All right, let's read just a little bit. If you've got your Bible, let's read from the book of 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter. We appreciate you being here. I noticed that Randy's back with us tonight. And he came in for a little while the other night. I looked for him. I don't know what happened. He was gone. And also noticed that Terry's back with us. Terry's been coming pretty regular now. He's got to where he likes to come out and be with us. Real fine person. We've talked with him. And certainly glad to have our brother Merritt down. We always appreciate him coming down. So far, he has to travel to come to be with us. Appreciate it so very much. Everyone that comes to visit with us, we appreciate you. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. And the younger men as brethren. The elder women as mothers. The younger as sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplication and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation, because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them. And let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partakers of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. For they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and opposition of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. You know, Paul, he really favored Timothy. He always referred to Timothy as being his son, and he really favored Timothy because Timothy seemed to be so sincere about what he was doing, or apparently it seemed to be that way. It seemed that that he could trust in him, and we would speak of him as his son. And when he would write to Timothy, he would commit certain things to Timothy's trust because he had confidence in him. You know, it would be wonderful if we had somebody like Paul the Apostle today. We had a person like Paul the Apostle. We could fellowship, you know, just walk around with and fellowship and have him in our assembly and have him with us wherever we went. It would be wonderful. Go back, take the patriarchs of old and maybe have Elijah present with us or Elisha present with us. Somebody like Abraham or some of the great men of old. It would be so wonderful. And I know that when we think about that, you know, we think of how wonderful that would really be just to be able to have somebody, you know, some of the great patriarchs of old, just to have them present with us and have them to tell us about their great experience and know that they were so close to God, you know, and understand the greatness of their ministry and what it meant to have them bodily present with us. That would be a great thing. And I'm sure that Timothy really enjoyed having Paul with him. But you know, there's times when Timothy had to go out and minister the gospel when Paul wasn't there. There was times when Paul would send Timothy into a certain place or a certain area. And when Paul would send him there, then he had to go on his own and he had to preach the gospel on his own. And he had to fight the battle on his own. And it was then that it was proven in his life as to whether or not he had paid attention to his great teacher, the apostle, and whether or not he had prepared himself, or so prepared himself, by the teachings of Paul, to where he could withstand the wiles of the devil and be beneficial to God's people and to God's kingdom. You know, there comes a time in every person's life when they're going to be by themselves somewhere. And they're going to have to prove God in their own life, no matter what I teach them or anyone else teaches them. They're going to have to prove God in their own life because they're going to be standing right there to fight the battle for themselves. You know, it's like children. Children love to lean upon daddy and they love to lean upon mama. And a lot of times, sons and daughters will lean upon mother and upon father to stand with them and to keep them out of problems and to keep them out of troubles. And a lot of times they misuse them because their love is not what it ought to be toward them. But see, that's wonderful that they got a mother to do that with or got a father to do that with. But just think, what if they didn't have a mother? What if they didn't have a dad to turn to? Then they'd have to stand on their own two feet. Is that right? They would have to stand with themselves because they would have no one to turn to, no one to lean upon, and they'd have to trust altogether in their own ability unless they knew something else that they could turn to. You know, as I said, it would be good to have Paul here or some great person like that here. But did you know today we've got a greater than Solomon here, and we've got a greater than Paul here, and we've got a greater than Elijah here, because we've got the Holy Ghost in our midst. We've got God with us, and that's the great thing, see. We've got God with our midst. We can lean upon God. It's good to have those great men. It's good to have preachers with us. But brothers and sisters, we can have a confidant that lives on the inside of us. He's closer than a brother. Brother Pye can get close to you. Your companions can get close to you. Mother and daddy can get close to you. Brothers and sisters, they can get close to you. But the Holy Ghost is closer than a brother. The Holy Ghost can go inside of your heart, inside of your life. And he can quicken the very blood genetics in your body with the life and power of the living God. He can comfort, he can console, he can kill diseases on the inside. He can take away tension, he can relieve nerve condition when nobody else can do it. He can bring peace of mind when nobody else can do it. He can cause your faith to rise up that will be adequate for the purpose when you've got problems and you can't get over the mountaintop. When you can't get over the mountaintop or you can't fight the battle, your strength is not adequate for the purpose, then the great Spirit of God, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, will rise up on the inside of you and he'll give you strength and he'll give you faith. And that faith will bring the relief that you need to be able to face the situation that you have to cope with. So then it's so wonderful to know that we've got God. I'm so glad that I know that God is a spirit. I'm so glad that I know that God is a spirit. Because knowing that God is a spirit, that makes me know that God dwells in my heart. That makes me to know that if I go to Texas, God's down there with me. If I go to New Orleans, God's over there with me. If I go to the far corners of the earth, God is there with me. Just like right now, going down to South America, I need God to go with me. And I expect God to go with me. See, I'm going to need God when I get down there. And God's going to be with me down there. I was praying last night, and God let me know that He's going to be with me down there. Hallelujah. And so then God's going to be with me down there. It's like some of the great leaders of old, like Joshua and Moses and different ones. God would say, son, you're fixing to go out to battle. I'm fixing to send you up to battle. And you could hear that cry go up. The Bible records it. And you could hear them say, oh Lord, don't send me forth to battle unless thy presence go before me. God, don't send me up to fight unless your spirit goes with me. You know, that's the way I feel. I pray a lot of times. I say, Lord, don't send me to South America unless you're going with me. Father, don't send me out to battle against the devil and the wiles of the devil unless your presence go before me, Lord. Don't send me because I know that I can't prevail. I know that I cannot live an overcoming life unless I do it through the Spirit of God. There's no way. I can't overcome unless God stands by my side. I've got to have His presence with me everywhere I go. I've got to have His strength with me. In the day that we're living in, the hour that we're in, the task is so great. Your sons and your daughters are going wild. There's dope, that peddling dope everywhere there. They're finding out that the great rich men and the great men of money and power and prestige out there in the world, they're learning that these men are the ones that are behind this thing. They're finding out that those that have been undercover, that's been shielded by society, that they're the one that's corrupting society. And they're selling our sons and daughters for dope and everything else. Just recently I learned that numbers of great millionaires, numbers of them, haven't paid any taxes in practically all of their lifetime. They've gotten by without it, haven't paid any. Through the shrewdness, through the money, through the illegal ways that they go about it. They haven't paid anything. But the little man has paid it all. You understand what I'm saying? He can't get out of it. He doesn't have the money. He doesn't have the brilliance to get out of it. He doesn't have the connection to get out of it. So then he doesn't have money power to look to. He doesn't have the great philosophers of the world to turn to. He doesn't have anybody to help him. So he has to turn to Christ. That's his helper. He has to turn to Jesus. So then he turns to the Lord Jesus. While they depend on money power, then we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. While they depend on the great lawyers and that is on the world, we depend on Jesus and we ask God to make a way for us. We cannot face the battle without Jesus. We cannot face the crisis without Jesus. I guess that's one of the great things of Timothy's life. Timothy regarded Paul as a father. And Timothy knew that he could not go out there without the instructions of Paul. He would sit at the feet of Paul. He would stay with Paul. He would ask Paul what to do. And Paul would tell him these great, wonderful truths that God had revealed to him. And Timothy would instill them within his heart. And then when he would go forth in the battle, he was to where he could do something for God. He was where he could stand against the wiles of the devil because he had been indoctrinated with the understanding of the Almighty God. You know, people who don't listen, whether it's in school or whether it's in church, they never become successful in life. Isn't that right? People that don't pay any attention in school out there, they don't become successful in life. And people who don't pay any attention in church don't become successful in God's kingdom either. It takes listening to God. It takes listening to God's people. You know, we've always got something to do. We've got to go over yonder. We've got to go over here. We've got to do this and we've got to do that. We've got a ministry here and we've got a ministry there. And God's called us here and God's called us there when God hasn't called us anywhere except to sit down and listen and straighten our lives out. That's what God has called us to do, is to get our lives straightened out. God doesn't call people to go all over the world and make a mess. God doesn't call people to go here and there and half-hearted, leave bills unpaid and leave things undone and leave responsibilities and leave wife and leave children and cause a great reproach. God isn't in that. Satan does that. When God calls somebody, God makes provisions for that person. And that person will be a responsible person that will pay their bills and take care of their obligations and do the thing toward their fellow man that God tells them to do here. That's why Paul tells Timothy, he says, Timothy, if any man will not consent to these wholesome words of teachings and doctrine that I'm telling you, don't have any fellowship with them. All right. So then, God has not called us to confusion. God doesn't call men to the ministry that's irresponsible. God doesn't call men to the ministry that won't take care of their families. The Bible said, if any man will not provide for his own, he hath denied the faith, and he is worse than an infidel. Do you think God is going to call somebody that's worse than an infidel to go out there and carry the gospel? God expects you first to take care of your family. He expects you to take care of your obligations. He expects you to be a real man. He expects you to get your temper under control. He expects you to have the right spirit. He expects you to be a good person. And then the Bible said, filled with the wisdom of God, apt to teach. And then God wants to use you. If you're not like that, God hasn't called you to go out there. God has called you to get your life straightened out. I know a man that comes around here every once in a while. I think a lot of the man. He's an elderly gentleman. I think a lot of him. And he keeps talking about God sending him here and God sending him there. And God's got a work for him to do over yonder. And God's got a work for him to do over here. And the Lord let me know that what the man needs to do is to settle down somewhere and get his life and family straightened out with God, or he and the whole family is going to go to hell. And he's running everywhere. It's just a big mess of confusion. All it does is reproach what God's doing. What we need to do is be sober-minded. God took me out, took me across the field. But listen, beloved friend, he took care of my bills. I didn't have a job. I didn't have an income. I didn't have a revival. I didn't have a church. I didn't have support from you or anybody else. But God provided for me. And him that was necessary for me to keep my children in school, he made a way to where I could do it. Him that was necessary for me to pay rent wherever I was at, he made a way for me to do it. Him that I had to pay my light bill, he made a way for me to do it. Him that I had to have an automobile and tires on it and gasoline in, God made a way for it. And him that I had to feed my little children, God made a way for it. Every place that I went, everything that I did, God made a way for it. I didn't leave bills here and I didn't leave bills there. And I didn't go around buying on credit and I didn't go around begging, didn't go around bumming. I didn't go around telling somebody, you got to give me a revival because I've got to have some money. I went to God in prayer and I talked to God. And the Lord met my needs. Always he met my needs. Why is that? Because he sent me. He sent me. See, when God sends you, you'll be the kind of person that God can send. And the kind of person that God can send is a responsible person. Somebody say, I love the Lord. I'm talking about wholesome, godly teachings. The Bible said, if any man don't consent to this, then that man is just doting about, he don't know nothing. That's what the Bible says. All right, so then we need to preach the Word. We need to get in the Word. We need to be filled with the Word of God. Get a hold of God's Spirit. Hallelujah. We link arms here together at Little Bethlehem. And we stand for something. If God's called you to the ministry, I'll stand with you. If God's told you to go somewhere, I'll stand with you. And if God's told you to go somewhere, God will stand with you. And we'll all work together and we'll get the job done. But if God didn't tell you to go, you'll just leave a string of bills and leave a confused mess and always a burden to everybody. It'd just be a turmoil all the time. And everywhere you go, you'll just cause a problem. Every church, every home, every place, it'll just be one great big mess. Some people feel that they're called to the ministry because they don't want to work. Somebody say, I love Jesus. They're too lazy to work, and they ain't going to work here, or there, or anywhere else. They're not going to accept responsibility here, there, or anywhere. So they're just wandering stars. Some men are going to put their wives to work. There's some men that have put their wives in the ministry. I know them. I've met them. They put their wives in the ministry because they're too lazy to work. And they put the wives to work. To me, I think that's a disgrace in the sight of God. That's a disgrace. Men that going around teaching that women are called to the ministry and ordaining women into the ministry, those men need to sit down somewhere. Get off of the field and quit causing confusion. God doesn't call women into the ministry. And God didn't tell them to ordain any women in the ministry. They don't know what they're doing. They don't need to be out there. Men that are out there teaching Trinitarian teachings that won't teach baptism in Jesus' name, according to the Word of God, needs to get out of the ministry, get away from the churches. Sit down somewhere because they're confusing the people. God didn't send them. The Bible said that if they don't consent to wholesome words, godly wholesome teachings, that they're proud, just doting about, knowing nothing. Jesus said over there at the baptism, thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Right at that very time they were baptizing when he said that. How could a man get up and preach the word of God and not teach the name Jesus for the remission of sin? That man don't know what he's doing. He doesn't need to be in the ministry. But God has had to suffer all of this down through the years. You say, Brother Pike, why has he done this? Because Paul said, whether the gospel be preached for contention or otherwise, herein I rejoice. I rejoice. Maybe it's a little bit over here and maybe it's a little bit over there, and God suffered it over there and I rejoice in it. But brothers and sisters, when it comes down to who God sent and what God wants, God sends the man that speaks God's word. That's the only man that God ever sent. The man that speaks God's word is the man that God sends. And God's word tells us just exactly what he expects of the people, what he expects us to do. He set up a church in the early apostolic times. He laid a foundation for it. And the teachings of that foundation is found in the book of Acts. And then he took those men's names and he put it in the foundation of the city. And said, other foundation no man can lay except this which I've laid. And said, let every man, every preacher, every person take heed how they build on this foundation. Because sometimes in the near future, I'm going to call them to record. Someday, I'm going to call them to record. And I'm going to find out what they've been doing. Let me tell you something, folks. We're going to meet God one day. We're going to meet God one day. There's coming a time when we're going to meet God. Like I said the other night, when we stay here preaching, the churches have confused the people. They've got the people all tore up. They've got the people expecting something that's not real. They've got the people thinking that Jesus, the Lord, is some kind, gentle person that doesn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. That's never going to raise his voice. That's never going to scold them. That's never going to punish them. And they've got the people believing that. And it's got the people tore all to pieces. And the people are just sitting around ready for Satan to gather them together and turn them into the lake of fire because of their foolishness. When the Bible definitely states all through the Holy Scriptures that he wasn't that kind of person. He was the kind of person that came walking right up to a man's face and he'd say, you hypocrite! He'd walk into an assembly and turn over the tables and pop the whip. And say, why did you make my father's house a place of money changers? Jesus was the kind of person that spoke concerning judgment, concerning the wrath of God, concerning the things that God requires of mankind. And on many occasions, Jesus would say, stay away from the Pharisees, stay away from the scribes. He said, they're hypocrites. I said, well, I don't believe you ought to preach against anybody's religion. That's not Bible, you know. But I want you to know it is Bible. In that day, it wasn't the Baptists and the Methodists, the Presbyterian, whatever. It was the Pharisees and scribes. Jesus said, you're hypocrites. Stay away from them, he said. He preached against them. He come against them. He spoke against them. So then God is not at all the way. People have got him lined up to be. The devil has hatched out a bunch of make-believe preachers. Put them out here in the churches and got them to where they rock the people to sleep. I'm not against the charismatic people. It's just like the charismatic. I know God used the charismatic to draw the people out of the denominations. I know that. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. God didn't intend for you and I, who have known the greater things of God, who have gone on to the greater things of God, to turn around and backtrack and go back to a bunch of charismatic babies. God didn't intend that. God will sift that charismatic order one of these days. And all of them that are going on to the fullness of God, on to the great things of God, coming over to where you and I are, they'll come right on and leave the others behind. I'm not against anything that God does in any church, any movement that draws people out that don't have any more understanding than they do. I thank God for the Baptist experience that I received. I thank God for it because that was all I knew at that time. It was enough to draw me. And I thank God for it. But do you think I can turn around and go back to a Baptist church after I've come this far with God? I can't do anything like that. The Bible said, can you enter the second time in your mother's womb and be born again? Man can't turn around and go back. He's got to go forward, Jesus said. We've got a job to do. We've got to go on to perfection. The Bible said, not turning again to lay the foundation of repentance, of dead works and faith toward God, but let us go on to perfection. Not taking up a reproach against our brother. And this fellow over here says, I just can't stomach the fellow over here. I just can't get along with him. There's just something about it. Why, you know you need to get born again. If you have a personal thing against anybody, you don't have the Holy Ghost. Any person in this congregation that's got anything against their brother don't have the Holy Ghost. Anybody that can hear my voice anywhere that's got anything against your fellow man, you don't have the Holy Ghost. You need an experience with God. Brother, the Bible tells us that if we forgive not men our trespasses against us, God will not forgive our trespasses against Him. So then Jesus was not at all the way that they have Him termed to be in their minds. Jesus walked the sandy shores of Galilee. He had compassion. They expected Him to praise the religious sect of that day. And Jesus would say, you Pharisees and scribes, you bunch of hypocrites. And the people was all tore up. They said, why, here are these precious religious people. And here you just tear them all to pieces. Then He'd go over there with compassion to some old drunk, some harlot, say, I forgive you of your sins. Go thy way and sin no more. And He'd turn around and say, the drunkards and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you do. And He just kept them, tore all to pieces. But remember one thing, there's two extremes in the world. One of those extremes is godliness. To go on with God, I mean all the way with God, into holiness, into righteousness. The other extreme is to be a murderer, be a liar, be a dope addict, be a drunkard, be a harlot. That's the other extreme. And God regards both extremes. And God will work with both extremes. But the bunch of religious lukewarm reprobates that hides behind the shield of a veil of society that peddles dope to our sons and our daughters and fame themselves off as successful businessmen, robbers and cheats and liars and swindlers, hide in some religious denominational church, God said, you bunch of lukewarm people, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Said the drunkards and the harlots, go in before you do. So then, God wants us to get right. He said, I would that you were hot or cold. Because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Let me tell you something, folks. Jesus Christ isn't at all the way that those lukewarm people believe Him to be. God has let a bunch of devils get up there that the Bible said men teaching doctrines of devils that have got up behind the pulpit that's been hatched off from seminary having itchy ears they heap to themselves teachers after their own lust. Somebody that would woo them and console them and tell them everything was all right when everything's all wrong. And they're up there, those devils and demons standing there with their high starch collars standing there telling the people everything's going to be all right. Don't have to worry. Everything's going to be all right. And they're rocking them to sleep with that kind of thing, and God's letting them do it. Feeding them to the full like a bunch of swine to where he can cut them off. Fatten them up for the kill. Lies because they did not love the truth. God's turned them over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and be damned. So then, Christ Jesus, what kind of God is he? He's a God that believes in righteousness. He's a God that believes in holiness. He said, I'm angry with the wicked every day. I'm not a kind, good God to the wicked. I'll pursue them till they perish from off the face of the earth. I'm kind and good to them to the extent that through the days of grace I will allow them to live, because it's not my will that they should perish, but should repent and have everlasting life. And I'll let my blood covering be there through the days of grace to give them a chance to repent of their sins. The Bible said some of them are brute beasts made to be taken and burned. Somebody said, I've had them to say to me numbers of times, Brother Pike, God loves everybody and he's going to save everybody and work and draw everybody in. He understands their situation and save them in spite of themselves. God isn't going to do that. God isn't going to do that. And they're saying God loves everybody, Brother Pike. The Bible said God is angry with the wicked every day. I hate the wicked. The Bible said I hate every wicked way. And I hate wickedness and evil with a perfect hatred. And I am against the wicked, the Bible says. Not for the wicked. Not loving the wicked. He said, I am against the wicked. And I will pursue the wicked till they perish from over the face of the earth. And ye shall tread the ashes of the wicked under your feet. For the day shall come that shall utterly burn them up, the Bible said, and not leave them root nor branch. So then God is not for the wicked. God didn't spill his blood for the wicked. God never spilt one drop of Jesus' blood for the wicked. Not one drop. God wants us to be holy. God wants us to be clean. God wants us to be pure. God wants us to be righteous. It's just like going before a judge. We do wrong, we go before the judge, and the judge gives us mercy. Then we go out, and he turns us loose, puts us on parole. We go out again, and we go out and do our evil when he warned us not to do it. Then the next time we come back, and the judge is still merciful. He still works with us. And then we go out again, though he warned us and begged us not to do it and told us the penalty of it. We go out again and we still do our wicked way. One day the judge gets upset. He said, I ain't listening to your whining and whimpering no more. You are going to prison till you learn to do right. You know better than to do what you've done. You've done it because you wanted to do it out of your wicked, evil ways. That's what God's going to say. God said not to turn to lay the foundation of repentance over and over of dead works. Let us go on to perfect our lives before God, folks. Get this resentment out. Get this jealousy out. Get this temper out. Get this foolishness out. Get all of these things out of our heart before God tears us to pieces. Someday I'll meet you, he said, like a bear that's robbed of her cubs, and I'll tear you into pieces, you that forget God. So then they're lying to the people. They've got the people expecting God to come down here as a kind God that overlooked all of their faults and all of their wrongs and is going to take them away on wings of mercy. There won't be any such days as that. Let me tell you something. The Bible said to the contrary, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many shall try and not be able. Like I had a vision not too long ago, and I said I saw a sister. I saw two or three people. I said I saw them come try to get into the kingdom of God, and I saw them as they were allowed to pass through, and then I saw a man, and I saw the man come up, but he couldn't get through. They turned him away. He couldn't make it. It's happened that way so far. I saw another case of a man that come up right to the narrow. The Bible said straight is the gate, narrow is the way. I saw this man come up to this narrow passage. I was trying to get him through. I had got through and I reached and took his hand. I was pulling with all that I could, trying to get him through. But I couldn't get him through. He wouldn't come through. Folks, we're going to have to make an effort. We're going to have to make an effort. You hear me tonight? We're going to have to make an effort. There's some of you at Little Bethlehem, you're not making any effort to serve God. You're not making any effort to get rid of your wicked ways. You're not making any effort to get rid of the wicked, evil thoughts of adultery, surmising and resentment and jealousy and haughtiness and covetousness. You're not making any effort to get rid of it. Your evil temper, your fault finding, your bitterness, you're not making any effort to get rid of it. And I tell you in the name of the Lord that God's going to turn you into a lake of fire for it. We're going to have to do right. We're going to have to straighten up and do right. Paul said, Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering, doctrine, and all authority. Hundreds of thousands of people. Oh, listen to me tonight. I want to close in just a few minutes, but listen to me. Hundreds of thousands of ministers have the people believing that the rapture is going to take place and God is so good that he's going to come back and they're predestinated and they're going to go regardless to what they've done. And got them to believe in that everything is well with them. And they're out there living in the world and doing the things of the world and got the love of the world in their heart. And thousands upon thousands of them are going to be lost because of it. But I tell you at Little Bethlehem or whoever hears my voice, I tell you this in the name of the Lord. There's only one highway that leads to glory, and that's the highway of holiness. There's only one way. All other roads lead to hell. Might have said there's a number of roads by the pike. We're all going the same way. Don't let Satan lie to you. All the rest of the roads lead to hell. There's only one road that leads to heaven. That's holiness. So then what we've got to do is get right with God. We're going to have to shape in our lives and make some effort here, folks, to believe and to clean up. You can't believe when you got a dirty heart. Don't you know you're not going to heaven when one day you're talking about all of your meanness and evil and bitterness, and the next day you're talking about God? Good water and bitter water don't come forth from the same fountain. Don't you know you're bitter and your world is bitter and your world is death? God isn't in your heart. If God was in your heart, no such things would ever come out of it. When you, the Bible said, out of the same mouth shall that proceed blessing and cursing. One day you're cursing and the next day you're blessing. One day you're bitter and the next day you're sweet. God doesn't have any fountains like that. Let's do something for God. We need to do something for God. All right. Now, I felt like God wanted to be taught with you tonight. Even at this point, I fear greatly for some of you. And I still feel God burning like a fire in my soul to scream at you that judgment is on your trail. I had a night vision last night, I believe it was. Had night vision last night or two. This really shook me up. And I believe one last night had to do with somebody killing somebody, shooting somebody. Seemed like it was a woman involved. Whether the woman done the shooting or the woman got shot. Yes, it comes back to me. Today, I couldn't get it back. I told somebody today, I said, my, I wish that vision would come back to me because it really bothers me. I said, it really bothers me. And I said, but I guess God don't intend for me to have it. It was so plain when he gave it to me. But it came back just as plain as if he'd painted a picture just then. I remember exactly what it was. I remember who the woman was. I remember the shooting. It was the woman that got shot. The man shot the woman. And I remember it happened as though it was at a bank or at a place where the woman was working. And I remember the cunningness of it. How the man slipped in. They never did even see the person. The gun just was eased up through a place and the woman was shot before she had a chance to do anything. I remember that. And as far as I know, as far as I understand, though I didn't see the man in the vision, yet as far as I know, I was made to understand who it was. And the woman sitting in here tonight. I tell you what, we need to pray. We need to get up and get straightened out, folks. God is trying to tell you something. And some of you are making, I say this over again, you're sitting in my congregation tonight, your heart still ain't right with God. You're sitting there, evil and wretched as can be. And though all of the preaching and all of the toiling and all the talk and all the praying night and day that I've done for you, in others, you still won't change your wretched way of life. God help you. The Bible said, treasure up to yourself the wrath of God because of your hard, impenitent heart. The man sitting here tonight, his heart's as hard as nails, having his own way and finding fault with people and pitying himself. God's going to turn him up one of these days. You need to wake up. You need to get stirred up. The woman that I saw get shot the other night is a fine woman. She's sitting here. No reason at all. But what I've understood and the way things have been going, it could just very well happen that way. It's just perfect for a thing like that to happen. And I trust to God it don't happen. I pray that it don't happen. But you need to wake up, folks. All right, let's stand together. I scream at you and I holler at you to try to get past that old evil, wretched mind of yours, that old unconcerned, careless way of doing, that old resentful, every day do it over and over again way that you got, to shake you up and get you out of that rut you're in. Folks, hell is a horrible place. There's people down there screaming in hell right now. A lot of times, I stop and I have to get a hold of myself, being a minister. And I say, my God, my God, my God, and I almost give a sigh myself. I say to God, I say, no matter how many I win to God, there's still people, Father, that's screaming in hell right now that ain't never going to get out of that place. I say, my God, it can't be, and yet it's true. And then I think of others that's sitting under my voice that I'm talking to that's got a chance right now. If they'd make an effort, if they'd stop this old hypocritical baby sort of a stuff that they're doing. I understand we got babies, real babies, and God, I know that. But some of them, the little old baby acting ways of wanting to be petting, never growing up, never making any effort to do anything, never trying to straighten up, never taking responsibility. I feel like preaching all over again. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. When I become a man, I put away childish things. Folks, it's time to grow up. It's time to quit being a baby. It's time to quit saying, Brother Pike, I'm going to do better than Brother Pike. I'm sorry. And Brother Pike, I should have listened at you. And Brother Pike, you need to stop that foolishness. You need to listen and you need to straighten up and you need to do right. Don't lay the foundation of repentance over and over. I know you make mistakes. I make mistakes. We all blunder. We all make mistakes. But you don't have to practice evil. You don't have to practice wickedness. Why don't you listen? There's boys in prison tonight. There's boys and girls that are dead, that's gone to the electric chair, that's out in the clay tonight. Their bodies and their soul is in hell tonight because they wouldn't listen to mother and wouldn't listen to daddy, wouldn't listen to nobody. There's people since I've been at Bethlehem, young folks and old folks alike, that are dead, some of them in hell, because they wouldn't listen. It ain't been but a while back when they could have listened to the voice and been saved, but they wouldn't. They wouldn't. I warned them, but they wouldn't do it. They stood here in this sanctuary, and I warned them and told them, and they wouldn't do it. And some of them are headed the same way. Why do you want to do that? Why do you want to do that? Why don't you listen? Why do you want to do it? Don't you have any reasoning about you? Don't you want to have any understanding? Don't you want to, are you just wanting to get out there? Some of you young folks, boys and girls alike, you just wanting to get out there and dabble around in the things of the world just to get out there and call somebody, you know, you want to show off and you want to be somebody and you want to make them to know that you're somebody and you're not afraid and you're not this and you're this and you're that. And why, how foolish can you get? get out there and let the devils that's working in those minds get a hold of your mind and cause you to do something foolish before you hardly know what you're doing and wind up in hell or wind up in jail or wind up in the electric chair. Folks, wake up. Don't be foolish. Let's sing this song together, can we? A little chorus together. I really feel like God's trying to reach somebody tonight. I feel like He's tired of worrying with somebody tonight. I really do. I feel like He's tired of it. And I feel like that we're going to hear from it. I believe God's tired of it. He's working with some of you. And He's pleading with some of you. Men and women alike, He's pleading with you. But I believe God's getting weary of it. God don't scream at His people unless there's danger ahead. Did you know that? You hear the scream of an eagle and there's something going on. There's something going on. You need to wake up, folks. I want you to pray about the thing of the shooting. I really want you to pray about it. Because the thing could have had a twofold meaning. I see two things that's greatly involved in it. Both of them are connected together in almost identically the same way in some respects. One is a young woman and her companion. One is an elderly woman and her companion. You know, people will kill you now. Did you know that? They'll kill you. I read today where a man killed his own little daughter. They'll kill you. Urges. Sons are killing mothers. Mothers are killing sons. Dads killing sons. Brothers killing each other. It's one of the worst days in the history of all the world. Demons, devils, people can't control themselves anymore. Urges get a hold of them. Tempers get a hold of them. And they just can't rest until they kill. They just got to kill before they can get over it. Bitterness gets a hold of them. There's a man that's coming to this assembly. As sure as you're living in this world, God's tired of that man and his foolishness. As sure as you're in this building, God tired of it. God dealt with him for many years. It ain't been for a day. It ain't been for a month. It's been for many years. He's been patient with him. Loved him. Been kind to him. But God's expecting him to do something. There's tragedy on the way. There's heartaches on the way. You men and women, you boys and girls, don't play around on God. Get down to business. Even you little boys and girls that go to school out here, listen to the teachers. You teachers, you listen at me. You quit conniving against each other and trying to bust the school up down here. Trying to take over and split everything up into splinters because of your old evil contrary mind. You stop that foolishness. You that are working in the offices, you stop that foolishness of having some personal grudge against somebody, always warring against somebody, and you can't work with this and you can't stomach this one and you can't be around that one. You get born again or get out of the offices. And let us get somebody that got enough love of God today and fellowship and get along in these different kind of places. I sang this little chorus, I need you, Jesus. Oh, I need you. I need thee, Lord. I need thee. Every hour I need thee, I need thee now, sweet Jesus. Oh, how I need thee. Let's be holy, folks. Let's be holy. All my brethren, the black brethren, the white brethren, the Spanish brethren, all of them. Indian brethren, all of them. Let's be clean. Let's be holy. sisters, let's be pure. Let's be clean. Don't let the men lust after the women and the women lust after the men. Don't play with some man's wife or with her spirit or play with some woman's husband's spirit. Don't do that. That's a devil. You'll burn in the lake of fire for them. Don't you do that. Over in some countries, the Holy Land, they used to have to wear a veil, the women. When they walked down the streets, when they come to where the men was, they had to drop the veil down over their face to be shamefaced, to make sure there was no connection of spirit to spirit. God speaks of a spiritual veil today that you're covered with. The veil of His glory, the covering of His glory. To be holy, to be clean, to be upright. Keep your spirits clean. Keep your minds clean. Keep your hearts clean. The pure in heart shall see God. Can you sing it again with me? I need Thee, Lord. I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. I need Thee now, sweet Jesus. Oh, how I need Thee. You know, there's men among us that I don't like for my companion to be around. They're in the brotherhood. I'm miserable when she's around them, because I feel demon spirits. I don't like for her to be around them. Some of the brethren, it's a joy for my companion to be around. I feel such reverence and respect in their spirit toward her. Men, I don't like to go on trips with. I don't like for them to go with me because I feel devils and demons around them. I don't like for them to go. They vex me the whole trip. I don't like for them to be with me. Some of them, I just love for them to be with me. It's such a joy for them to be with me. God is so good. He's so wonderful. There's some holy men in the world. There's some holy women in the world. Clean, upright men. I got some young men here. Probably 17, 18 years old. Men maybe 21, 25 years old. Just as clean as they can be in their spirits. And them young men, and some that's older, they're just as rotten as they can be, comes in and out among us. There's women that I don't like to be around. I don't like to see them come around, because there's devils of lust on them. When they come around, the devil of lust is present from the time they come around. And I don't like to see them come around, because I hate that kind of thing. I hate evil with a perfect hatred. I hate devils and demons that claws and reaches for the human soul. I hate it. I want to be pure in heart. I want to be clean. I want to be righteous. I want to see God. I want to make it into the kingdom of God, into the heavenly places. I want to make heaven my final destination and my final rest. I don't want to play. I don't want to play games. I want to be right. I want to be clean. I don't want to love the things of this world and have the love of the world in my heart and covet the things of this world. I don't want to covet nobody else's wife. I hope my companion feels the same way. Feel like she does. Let's love one another. Treat the sisters as sisters with all purity. The elderly women as mothers with great respect. The elderly men as fathers with great respect. And the younger men as brethren with all purity. Let's be a man and let's enjoy being around men. And you women, Be a woman. Enjoy being around women. Don't try to break your neck, so to speak, to get around a man, or break your neck, so to speak, to get around a woman every time you go to visit with somebody. If you're around their companions, around their daughters, be nice, be clean, have a clean mind, have a clean heart. Let your conversation be clean. Don't go to running off in the gutters with your mind. Bring up something and always have to go back to something that you know good and well that even as much as I preach against it here, that some of them will still come and sit down in my house and their minds will go straight to the gutter. And they'll start talking about something that they ought not to be talking about. You women, when you get together, keep your minds clean. Talk about decent things. The Bible said those things that are done in secret ought not to be named not one time among you as becoming saints. You ought to never name it not one time, you men either. You ought to be clean and holy all the way. God's there. He sees it. He knows your thoughts, your inner tuitions. But the Bible said the shepherd watches for the soul. Isn't that right? Let's don't do that, ladies. Let's be mothers. Let's be on our job. That goes for the spiritual mothers here too. We need to watch the children. You know that? It's your responsibility. If you're a parent and you see a child out there and somebody's leading him off on the job out there, leading him off into some kind of suck hole of an old ungodly mind, you know that's a devilish suck hole. It'll take his life. Break in. Intervene. Get out there. Cut the man off. Maybe the little child don't have enough spiritual strength to withstand the thing. It's enticing. Drawing me away. Get out there. Be a real man. Be a real mother. Get out there and stop the thing. Break into it. God wants you to. It's your responsibility. That's His little lamb. And be clean in your mind. On the job or wherever. Be clean and be holy. You know where a lot of times the problem comes in, a man gets the thing and he's such a sharp looker. Are you listening? I say he gets the thing and he's such a sharp, trimmed up fella that women, he's just irresistible, you know. He's just got that certain something that the devil has given him. Because that's where you got it from. And he's just so sharp. And then he gets proud. And then the devils and demons run over him like ants over honey. And a woman, she gets to feeling she's such a sharp looker. Everybody's looking at her. And she's got to make her clothes a little tighter, a little more form-fitting, the way she can demand everybody's attention. Because that devil that's on the inside of her can't rest until he shows that old fleshly body off, that old corruptible, decaying thing that the skin worms will eat one of these days. Can't be a mother because she can't keep her minds out of the gutters. Can't be a father because she can't keep her minds out of the gutters. Can we sing one more chorus and we'll let you go? When he reached down his hand for me. Can you sing with me? Oh, when he reached away down for me, I was lost and undone, without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me, you know, the Lord had to reach way down for me. To get a hold of me, He had to reach way down. That's why I love Him. The Bible said He is forgiven much, loveth much. He had to reach way down to get me. And I love Him much. Because He had to reach so far to get me. Let's be Christians. Let's love Him much. There's none good, no, not one. None good but God. The only hope that you've got is through God. God had to reach way down to get you. He was in terrible shape. He forgave you much. You ought to love Him much. The Gentile people were some of the worst people in the world. Down with the dogs. Even referred to as dogs. He had to reach way down to get you. You ought to really love Him, folks. You ought to really love Him. Let's be clean. I say this again to some of my black brethren. I said it the other day. I got one or two of them that's got woman trouble. God's going to get your hide. You better clean up, straighten up, like I'm telling you. It goes for you white fellas too. But you better straighten up. I saw something again today. I don't want it to black men. You better straighten up. God's going to get on your trail. All right. Let me tell you something. White brothers and white sisters need to be straight with each other. So does black brothers and black sisters. So does black brothers with white sisters and white sisters with black brothers. You need to keep straight and clean. I saw a woman the other day toying around with a man. I picked up her spirit. I saw the man toying around with her. God's going to get your hide. You make a mess at Little Bethlehem, and God will spill your blood and brains along the highway somewhere. You straighten up and do right. God loves you. God will help you. God will stand by you. But don't you care on no foolishness at Little Bethlehem. If you want to be a whoremonger or a prostitute, there ain't no room for them at Little Bethlehem. We don't need them here. We don't want them here. Find you another place. We don't want any spiritual whoremongers and prostitutes here either. We love the name Jesus. We want to live holy and be clean, not a bunch of gossipers and backbiters and fault finders. You black men, keep your minds over the white sisters. Marry women of your kind. Stay where you're supposed to. You white men, do the same thing. Keep your mind over the black sisters. Marry where you're supposed to. God don't like intermingling. He don't like that. God likes thoroughbreds. He don't like it. So you stay clean of it and stop your foolishness. All right, I love you. And I want to help you. I'll do anything I can. Paul said we use great plainness of speech. We're rude in speech. But not in knowledge. We want to be holy. We want to be clean. I want to be fair to you. But I want to be straight with you. We don't want to do nothing to reproach Little Bethlehem or its cause.